Today's program is brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit culinarycenter.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Jack Inslee, host of Full Service Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this show, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, and welcome to A Few Things with Claire and Erica, brought to you by me, Claire.
And I'm Erica.
Just trying to switch up our intro a little bit because we're so great at it. This is a podcast where we tell you about all of the things that we have discovered that we are really in love with and want to tell you about.
And it is an extension of our newsletter that we send every Monday called 10 Things that you can sign up for on our website, ofakind.com, where we also sell the pieces and tell the stories of emerging fashion and home designers.
Nailed it.
Lots going on.
Nailed it. Let's just replay that intro
every time.
Yeah, exactly. So today we're going to talk about something that we are thinking about a lot lately, probably because we're in our early 30s. Good gifts for babies.
We know so many babies.
We are very popular with the babies these days. Not to brag, but we know a lot of babies.
And we knew tons of babies in April, especially.
Oh my God,
it was like a flood of babies that came into our lives.
It was baby month.
Yeah. So we've been trying to come up with the creative things to get for babies, make for babies, you know, make the babies feel really loved as soon as
something
they come out
of
the womb.
Something other than like extra bottle nipples.
Correct.
Which is like, you know, you need them.
Useful, but yeah. And you can only, I think, my sense is from talking to mothers that you can only have so many really cute onesies.
Yeah.
And so to mix it up. Well, the things that we did that are, I think, by far the most impressive that we should pat ourselves on the back about first are making baby blankets for our nieces and nephews.
Labor
or our nieces,
love.
I guess. We only
but
have
we
nieces
But we both have nieces.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We both did that. And they were huge blankets that should last these children in well into their 30s. And for all of the time that we put into them, they better keep them for that long.
I used a kit from Pearl that is just a baby making pattern. I guess it wasn't a kit. It was just the pattern. And then it was five different sort of stripes of yarn. And I think, did I do a cotton yarn? Do we both do cotton yarns?
Well, I know that I think you're kind of supposed to use cotton for babies.
Right.
Organic cotton, if you can. I don't actually know what the difference is. But they say that some babies are sensitive to animal based yarns, like wools.
Right.
Although I should have looked this up before we did this, but I actually think I used a washable wool that is good for babies.
It's like a hypoallergenic wool.
That's the word I was looking for. We'll post the links to it because we both had really good yarn. But I do know that they say cotton is ideal for baby blankets also because you can throw it in the wash when they spit up on it.
Correct, which they are apt to do.
They are apt to
do. Is my sense.
Weirdly, I didn't get like an amazing reaction from my baby niece about it, but I feel like when she's
she'll
older,
grow into it.
She'll, for sure.
She'll get excited eventually.
I did get an amazing reaction from her from when I gave her something that you discovered
called
it's the black and white book.
Yes.
It's insane.
Yeah. So there's a series of books by this woman, Tana Hoban. I guess by is a weird word in this case because she's not writing any text because this is a book for babies. It's all pictures.
But it's literally a book for infants.
So basically the concept is they're all these really high contrast black and white images. And there are a series of, I think, four or five of them. Of these books. So some are really graphic, some are animals. But
I think the original one is a lot of things that the baby probably sees. So there's like keys,
right?
A bottle.
Yes.
Forms that are familiar to them.
Correct. And the idea is that when babies are born, they really can only see black and white. And so the contrast is really good for them and it helps their eyes to focus, to be able to find objects that can actually, they can actually connect with right away.
I gave it to my niece Bianca when she was 1 month old and it was nuts because at that age, I mean, she's an alert baby, but they don't really grasp onto things with so much visual intent at that age.
Yes.
And she really did with that book. And it became like the parlor trick for the next couple of days. Like, watch her stare at this thing. It's nuts.
Watch the baby
really
care
works.
About something.
Exactly. Other than her mom's boob. Yeah. No, it's nuts.
The other gift that you gave recently to your friend Jessie was the massage, which is genius.
Well, because new moms are carting around babies on their back, well, back, front, you know, whatever, all the time. And especially with breastfeeding, their backs, I hear, tend to be in a lot of pain.
I like how we're both really scared to speak with any real conviction or sense of authority because we don't have babies and we've only been around them a limited amount of time. So we're like, my sense is that breastfeeding really sucks for your body and that you should do something. Yeah.
So, you know, they carry them around in these wraps or you're just carrying them all the time. Yeah. So your back really hurts. And so we gave Jessie Zeal in-home massage, which I was really obsessed with as an idea because they come to your home or wherever you are, your office, with the massage table and everything, and it's on demand, so it's like I think you have to give them like maybe an hour notice, but I just love that because I felt like I love the idea of giving a new mom a massage, period, but the likelihood of her actually scheduling the thing and having the time to get out of the house and do it seems slim.
Yeah. So, well, and if there's actually the possibility that she knows that if she feeds this baby, you know, in 2 hours, then she can put the baby down and get this massage if you don't need that much notice for booking.
Yes.
I love the idea of sort of like spa products in general, and there's a ton of mommy baby type lines and, you know, all that Mustela stuff. And then
honest.
Our friend Courtney sells on her site Stork, S-T-O-R-Q, which we will link to when we do our roundup.
And she's a previous guest on our podcast.
Yes, exactly. She sells a lot of pregnant women and new mom approved beauty products that are natural and healthy and good for everybody involved.
And I know this is a little off topic, but any friends who get pregnant, I always send them the Stork maternity wear because it's very giftable.
Yeah. It's a good sort of congratulations, you're pregnant gift if you're doing that as well.
Here's some clothes that might fit in 3 months.
The other things that are sort of more design oriented that we've been really into are socks. We've both done socks.
Happy Socks makes the cutest little box of...
It's like five
tiny, pack. Yeah, it's like a five pack of like argyle and polka dotted socks. And they're so tiny. And my sense of these things, I wouldn't know firsthand, is that babies just throw away their own socks left and right off the sides of their strollers
in the middle
and
of the street,
stuff. Yeah,
basically.
Exactly. Yeah. I see a lot of baby socks on the sidewalk. So it's like, here are some to last you at least a week.
Well, and baby socks are so cute in the same way that baby shoes are adorable, but it does feel ridiculous to buy shoes for a baby that is not going to stand in them. So at least these keep their little toes warm or whatever.
As do the Baby Deegan knit booties.
Yes, we sold a version of these on our site. They
flew off our site. We need to get them back on there. We weren't sure, again, not being mothers, we're like, will people buy like $45 knit baby booties? They're the cutest thing ever, but is this something people want? Turns out people wanted them
real. But and I also the kind of thing you want to keep forever. I mean, it feels like the perfect sort of keepsake, and I love that she does it in very gender neutral colors and they're just really poppy and fun and bright.
And they are the kind that will actually stay on your baby's feet.
Correct.
I think, because they're kind of substantial.
And then the other sort of poppy, fun, bright thing that we like are those Danish mobiles.
They're by Flensted. And they're $40. They have them on Amazon. And they're cranes and other types of birds and fish and different animals. And they're just really beautiful. And they also appeal to an adult sensibility.
Yeah, they're very minimalist in sort of like Danish design way.
Exactly. And we also have this other thing that neither of us have done, but I think that we should at least give ourselves credit for having come up with the idea, is so many new moms spend so much time breastfeeding, and they're always posting on Facebook, tell me what TV shows to Netflix, like what should I be reading? I just need content.
Yeah.
And so we thought, wouldn't it be so thoughtful of us to actually put together a list of TV shows to Netflix, or like, I don't know, give them
books
DVDs
to read
or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
Because that seems to, I can imagine I would really just want all of the shows to watch.
Well, and I think there's also this idea that there's certain things you can watch when the baby's really young and not paying attention to anything, that it maybe is a little like scary or violent or loud or whatever. And then 3 or 4 months in, you're sort of phasing that stuff out and just want good comedy. So maybe you should be saving your Mindy project for 3 months in or whatever. Yeah.
I would just also just want sort of mindless stuff, because how much can you focus while you have a human
attached to you?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
And our last tip on this front, this is something that we haven't done, but that is pretty hilarious, especially in the way that we know someone executed it, is buying the domain name of your kid.
Slash social media handles, too.
Correct.
Although you know those won't be relevant by the time the kid cares. Yeah, but no. The domain name, we think, will still be relevant.
We're holding out hope. But the person we know who did this kind of held it hostage, held the domain name hostage in order to get himself named Godparent.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know if it was amazing. A success story, but it was hilarious. Yeah. It was a hilarious act, nonetheless.
Really funny. You could also just be more generous and just actually hand over your domain names. No strings attached.
Yeah. This is for you. Yeah.
Exactly.
Hilarious.
All right. Well, we're going to cut to commercial and we're back with a very special guest.
Born from discord and harmonies, raised by the rays of the falling sun. Cruel that rage of our true Cupid makes life the killer of the mighty Python. So a typical follow Sorrento.
The International Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
And we're back. If you're just joining us now, you are listening to A Few Things with Claire and Erica. And we have on a very special guest, Joanna Goddard. We are so excited that she's here. Joanna is the mind and the voice and the brains behind the blog Cup of Joe, which is...
If you're on the internet, you probably know
exactly. I mean, I knew it way before I knew Joanna. That is for sure. And I remember the first time we just... like did something with you. I can't remember what it was. It was something really small. And my husband came home from work and he was like, all the girls at work think you're so cool because they saw you on Cup of Joe.
They think you're famous.
And I was like, really? That's what I had to do? I knew it. But yeah, it's an amazing lifestyle blog that about fashion, beauty, life, dating, love, now babies because you have them.
Relationships, yeah.
And it's just, it's a force, and I think it's so impressive. So
you guys, that's so nice.
I want to hear what made you start Cup of Joe.
Well, I was actually coming out of a relationship that was on again, off again for about 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so we were breaking up, and I knew I just... wanted a distraction from that, from like heartbreak, but also like getting back into the relationship. So yeah, I just started it on the side, and it kept me from calling him at night or eating
a
lot.
Yeah. I love that story because I was getting out of a relationship when we started Of a Kind, and it was definitely related where I was like, I can have the strength to do this really scary thing because I have this other thing that's going to take my focus off it and make it less scary.
I have something to put my energy into.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and my brother had set up the blog years before when nobody had a blog. I mean, I started it in January of 2007. No one really had a blog then.
Yeah.
There were a couple. I mean, Design Sponge, Apartment Therapy, but it wasn't like everybody had a blog, and brands definitely didn't have them. But my brother was a kind of a computer geek, and he set it up one time. We were hanging out at my dad's house. He's like, you should start a blog. You should name it Cup of Joe. That would be hilarious, like coffee. And I was like, okay, that's a good idea.
So he came up with the name originally. He came up with the name.
That's so funny.
Like years before, and I think 2005. And then I did nothing with it until I needed it. And then it was just supposed to be a fun side project just to keep my mind off this guy.
At what point did it stop being a side project and become a business to you?
Well, I had a full-time job at the time, so I would do it on nights and weekends. It was just a fun distraction, like I said, and like just a hobby. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, I was working at Glamour doing a blog for them about relationships and dating. And Cup of Joe was growing at the same time. And it, at one point, I just kind of realized it makes sense to just focus on that full time, mm-hmm. both financially and, you know, just time-wise what I was interested in doing. So
you recognize the opportunity to make money from it.
Yeah, at that point, it was really slow growing just because the internet at that point, it still is. It's like the Wild West. You know, you just kind of figure it out as you go. Yeah. Revenue streams are always changing. It's still changing all the time. You just have to, like how it looked 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago, totally different. So at the time, I just had really small tile banner ads from small businesses. And that's how we did it. But at that point, it was growing enough so that was enough at least to leave my full-time job.
It's one of the things that I respect so much and I'm so about you and I'm so impressed about you is that you come from this really authentic place. It's clearly that you're doing it because you love it. But I also know just from reading about it and looking at it that it's a serious business. You're making money doing it. And that's amazing and really awesome, I think.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. It's crazy. Sometimes I look at it, I'm like, it looks so easy. How come it takes so much time? Like, why am I working at night and often on the weekends? But yeah, I mean, it should look easy. It's supposed to look easy and relaxed. But yeah, it doesn't mean that it is. It's definitely a ton of work. Even I don't always understand how, though, but it is.
How do you think about your audience now that it's grown in the way that it has?
You mean who my reader is?
Yeah. Like, how do you... Yes, who your reader is. Yeah.
That, I think, has slightly changed as the blog has changed and I've gotten older. When I first started, I was coming out of this relationship and quite quickly afterward met Alex, who's now my husband. Mm-hmm. And so I was first writing about, like, oh, this guy's moving in with me. How crazy is my new roommate? And things like that. And then he proposed and I was planning my wedding. And so I think my reader then was also in that life phase where she's maybe like pre-engaged or just got engaged and is kind of figuring that out. And then, you know, now I have two children, and so I write a lot about motherhood as well as, you know, fashion, beauty, and all those other topics. But I think probably I'm guessing my reader has grown with me. It seems to be from the comments. I mean, you never really know. I mean, you can look at analytics, but you never really know. But I think of my reader as just similar to me. I mean, I love our readers. I'm always blown away, I have to say, by how smart our reader is. Like, when we write about something that I think might be, like, a little envelope pushy or that maybe only I'm interested in. And then we get the most amazing, insightful comments and really smart. Like, recently I did a post, like, what was the most beautiful thing you've ever read? It was based on a Reddit feed. And I listed a couple things I liked. And I was telling Caroline, who works with me, I was like, I wonder if we'll get, you know, 13 comments or something. You know, people aren't going to really remember what they've read.
And the teenage soul.
Yeah. And I was like, you never know. I mean, I knew our readers probably, I know they're big readers, but it's like, how many people have a thing that they remember reading? It got like 700 comments plus, like 800 comments plus, amazing passages, like really incredible stuff. And that always happens. I was like, our reader is so smart. But I do think when I'm getting stuck sometimes and thinking, like feeling like I'm losing my voice, in the site or forgetting who the reader is, I try to think of like my sister or core group of friends. Sometimes I'll even like write down a list of names. I'm like, okay, I'll just write to those people and then it'll come across as like true.
That's such a really good
I was like, I should do that.
That feels like a very authentic way to bring it back. Bring it back to like a good place.
Yeah, if you're actually picturing people, because I think sometimes you can get lost and just be writing
this
for like
demographic
an audience. Yeah. And then you can start sounding just not like your real voice or.
Yeah, very canned.
I love that.
Yeah.
Eric and I, we still do say that, you know, our voice is the same voice that we use to email each other, since forever ago. But I've never thought about doing it that way. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. So this question that I've just been dying to talk about in general and is timely is you have this business completely based on your life, right? And, you know, a lot of the, not all of the content, but a big chunk of the content is, you know, what's happening in your life with your family.
It's rooted there.
Yeah. And we have a similar thing with 10 things, right? Where every week we send out a list of things we discovered recently that we love, which makes it really hard to ever feel like you're off the clock because even when you're on vacation, and sometimes especially when you're on vacation, you're like, okay, I saw this cool thing in that store, got to jot it down. Oh, that meal was amazing, got it jotted down.
Well, we were both on vacation last week, and my husband was saying, we went to this really amazing shake place in Palm Springs, and Thomas was like, well, is this going to make 10 things? And I was like, no, because I already have another Palm Springs thing for 10 things, and I can only really combine two different Palm Springs things in one bullet. And he's like, where are these rules coming from? And I was like, this is how I feel about this thing that we've made. I don't know.
Well, speaking of rules, this was a big thing where we have never skipped a week of 10 things since we started doing it in 2012. I mean, we did it on our honeymoons. We did it over the holidays, and we've just always done it. And last week we both took vacations at the same time. And part of the reason we did that was because we said if we both take vacations at the same time, we might actually get to take true vacations.
We can really turn this thing off for a minute.
Because if one person is working, you're kind of checking in, you know they might need your help on something or an answer. And we said, we're going to take true vacations where we're both off at the same time. And the big question is, are we still going to do 10 things? And we made the decision not to because we didn't want that pressure while we were on vacation. And so I now have that question for you is like, you've been doing this for way longer than we have and in a much different sort of more all-encompassing way than 10 things. How do you sort of turn it off or do you?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I make a point to leave my phone at home a lot when I'm out with my family or if it's just me and the boys, mm-hmm. because I know myself, and if I just check email and something's stressful, it'll just mm-hmm. get in my head. And so I often leave it behind, even if there are Instagrammable moments or whatever.
Yeah, that's what kills me.
I'll just be like,
I just
won't do it. Yeah. I mean, that's worth it to me to give that up and then have some time just completely like alone without even reaching for my pocket or like feeling my phone in my pocket. But I have to say, I really love my job, especially, I mean, with any job, you know, there are ups and downs, but especially right now, I'm really enjoying it so much that it is hard to turn off just because I also really like it. And like my husband, he's a great relaxer. He's very good at just chilling out. He's much more low key than I am. And he'll tease me about it. He's like trying to teach me how to relax. Like he'll be like, just look at the water. Just don't think of anything. And it's really hard for me to do. And a few years ago, I saw this New Yorker comic, and it was this guy with a laptop on a beach, and he was turning to his wife, and he's like, I'm not a workaholic. I just work to relax. And like, I kind of feel like that. Like, it is fun for me, but I definitely don't always, you know, I am always looking out. Like, you guys are always looking for 10 things. Like, mm-hmm. if we're at dinner with friends, you know, it's always a little bit in the back of my mind. Like, oh, that's interesting. That would be a good post. Like,
yeah,
exactly. We should talk to you about that.
Yeah.
Which I did to you the other night when we were at dinner.
Yeah. No, I know. It's true. And it's just, I mean, it's like you said, it's, you do it because you love it and you love your job. And then there are those moments where you
it's
just,
too much.
Yeah, you want to just enjoy something without making sure you jot it down to put it on the internet.
Totally, you know? 100%. Yeah, I go back and forth about that all the time.
Yeah, it's hard. But then you know, you leave your phone at home and you're like, well, if I had had my phone to take a picture of that thing, it would have been so perfect.
Yeah.
Exactly. These are the issues.
It's exactly. hard to figure out.
How do you think about the mix of content on the site right now when you're thinking about various categories that you cover, you know, from beauty to design to food to parenting?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely make a conscious effort not to veer too much toward motherhood. I try mm-hmm. not to because that's obviously such a huge part of my life. That mm-hmm. everything kind of relates back to that for me. But I want to make sure the site is interesting to people who don't have kids or don't want kids or haven't had kids yet. So I generally try to think of it as motherhood on Mondays, fashion and beauty and a bit of design on Tuesdays, food and drink on Wednesdays, relationships on Thursdays, and linked list on Fridays. And we're flexible with it, but that's generally how we think of the buckets. And so tends to work out.
Yeah. Smart. What are the posts that that for you personally have felt the most successful?
Well, there are quite a few. I mean, in terms of motherhood, when I had with both children actually, but when I had my first child, Toby, about 8 months in, I like was just hit out of nowhere with like a massive wave of postpartum depression. It was literally just getting like hit with a Mack truck, and it was really, really intense and disorienting. And I didn't know it was postpartum depression. I just thought it was like my life and everything was crumbling down around me, because that's what depression is. You don't mm-hmm, know.
Yeah.
It's depression itself. And it was horrible. And like, I like brings tears to my eyes to think about it, honestly. But I ended up writing about it a year after it had happened. And obviously I was out the other end. And that post, I was really nervous to write. I remember the night I was supposed to post, I had teased it the week before, and then it was supposed to go up on a Monday, and I was like waiting and waiting and waiting. My husband got home from work. I'm like, take a look at it. I don't want to do it anymore. It's a mistake. And finally it was like 11:54 or something. It went up like the very last minute of the day. But the comments came rolling in, and it was definitely the most rewarding post I've ever done. I'm so glad I did it. And so many other people related to it, whether they've been through postpartum issues or, just have separate kinds of depressions. But that was a really meaningful one for me. And apart from that, like I wrote about having a boy, like initially when mm-hmm. I found out I was pregnant with a boy, I was disappointed. It was my first child. I just always expected having a girl. And I just felt a little disappointed and guilty about feeling disappointed. And then once he was born, I was just like, I also tear up about this. I was like so madly in love. And so I wrote a post about that, just like how wonderful it was to have a boy, like for anybody who had those same nerves about it. And that was a really great one in my mind for, you know, feeling authentic to me.
Well, I know. I mean, you also have such an amazing and engaged commenter community that I think you can really see the impact that you're making and the way that people are connecting with the things that you're writing.
Yeah,
and I'm sure
really
that those
satisfying.
Two posts you would get, just such a good feeling once you put them out there.
And reading people's like kind of twists on it or like other stories. It's been really helpful back to hear things. And then it's really interesting. And then also just funny ones. Like we wrote about like, did you really have sex on your wedding night? Or like the beauty uniform series that we do talking to women about their beauty routines. So
I think I remember, I mean, I've read all of the ones that you just referred to, but I especially remember the postpartum one. And I've dealt with depression, and the thing that always frustrated me so much, especially when I was dealing with it, was that nobody talked about it that much. Nobody talks about it openly. It's not really treated like other illnesses. And I think now, like in the last year specifically, that's changed a lot just with the sort of online discourse. But I remember when you wrote about it, it was not the case. And for me, it was just like this huge weight lifted of, it's totally it's normal. And a lot of people have it. And I was so happy. I'm going to like tear up because I always had a really emotional reaction to your post. And obviously I've never had postpartum depression because I've never had a kid, but anyone who's been depressed can relate to it. And I thought that it was so wonderful of you to sort of, you know, be early to that and say, you know, no, not everybody's talking about their personal experiences with depression, but I'm going to be open with it. And I remember reading the commenting section too, and it was just this overwhelming outpouring of support and people saying me too, and having the same reaction I did where they were like, thank you for talking about this. I feel so much less alone. And, you know, maybe the next time you or anybody else, you know, experiences another bout of depression, there's a little bit of comfort there knowing how many other people have dealt with it.
It was phenomenal. And I was really nervous to post it, in part because I was thinking, if people are reading my site for advice or for tips on, you know, shopping tips, like whatever kind of tips, motherhood tips, and then they read this, like, are they just not going to follow me anymore? Because, oh, she's such a mess. Why would I follow somebody like that? Like, she can't keep herself together, whatever. Right. I had that fear before I put the post up, and it was totally the opposite. And I felt the same way. Like, reading the comments, it normalized even, like, to me, my own experience.
Yeah. Like, it just makes you real. It's you're a real, authentic person.
And hearing, everybody goes through it, and all these awesome commenters have been through the same thing and or something similar. And, it was really buoying.
Yeah. That's so great.
Yeah. That is
awesome. Here's something I want to know. What do you read on the internet?
So many things. Well, I'm obsessed with Kotke, the site. So Jason Kotke, he pulls together just the weirdest, like anything basically that interests him. And sometimes they are so random. It'll be like, look at this dog, like flipped over a car. So you're like, what? But it's so interesting. Or like, here's how like a key really works. And you're like, that is crazy. I didn't know that.
You're like, how did I not know this thing?
And then things that are a little bit newsier. But he's great. And it's, you never know what to expect. And I'm always sending it to my dad and brother. And I feel like we're just not interested in the same things, except when it comes to Kotke. That's like the Venn diagram of our interests. What else? Obviously, you guys. And Manor Peller is so hilarious.
So I've good. Like, really, and just been getting into that site. Better and like opening up the scope of content. I really like what she's doing.
Right. And
the
talking voice about is what really women good. Are really interested in. It's so funny. And I feel like, I mean, I'm 36 and I've lost all my interesting slang from like when I was in my 20s. And I feel like Manor Peller like keeps me young when I read slang. And it's like, when you can't even, and he can barely, and she can, I'm like, oh, that's what people are saying.
That's amazing.
So yeah, she makes me laugh. So yeah, I don't know. There's so much good stuff online right now. I think it's such an exciting time, and also such an exciting time for women. I think there's so many great female voices, and not only are there great female voices, but what they're talking about is so relevant to women. And, you know, just in the past year, I keep telling my husband, I'm like, I don't even want to use the word moment for women, because then it sounds like it's fleeting.
Right.
But like, seems like things are really happening right now. It's exciting.
Yeah. Vice just launched a women's site today, I think. Broadly?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's
Great.
All sorts of new stuff.
Great. Yeah. And check it out.
Well, thank you so much for coming, Joanna. This was awesome, and I could go on for another hour.
I feel like we have so many super fans of you and your work who listen to this and who are of a kind fans that are going to be psyched that
so
you were
psyched.
On.
Psyched! I know. Maybe thank we can have so a chapter
much.
Two at some point.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me
to talk about.
Yeah, it was really great. It was a thrill.
Well, this has been a few things with Claire and Erica. That's the name of our podcast, right? What else do we say at the end?
We are here every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Yeah. Eastern Time. You can download and listen on iTunes or Stitcher. And
even better, subscribe.
Oh, subscribe.
Yeah.
Way better.
Yeah.
And you should tell all your friends too, and leave nice comments.
I hear that if you leave nice comments, that does good things for us.
Yes.
Leave some comments.
And if you have anything that you want us to talk about on the show, you should email afewthings@ofakind.com, and we'll see what we can do.
We will. We'll talk to our bosses about it. We also sign up for our newsletter so that you can get 10 things. You can do that at ofakind.com too.
And that's the show.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.